All right, Christopher Loin and Don Yeager back on the Carolina Outdoors. Now, we were talking earlier about the McCaddenville Christmas lights, but I also want to remind people that you can go up to Concord to the Speedway and have a good Christmas light tour as well. Now, Christopher, go ahead and bring us on up to date on our next guest here, because it's the time of year we like to talk about this item.
That's right. That is exactly right. Well, you know, and an iconic organization in the greater Charlotte area, is the Carolina Raptor Center. And the Raptor Center has done just incredible work working with their feathered friends over the last, goodness, number of years. And
I don't know how many, so introduce Jim Warren and we'll ask him how many.
Let's find out. Well, Executive Director Jim Warren is coming on with us today. And Jim, we are excited for you to join us.
Well, Don and Christopher, it's always my pleasure to be with you. This is one of my favorite times, is getting to chat with some of my best friends in the outdoor world. And to answer your question about how long we've been doing this, it dates back to September of 1975. And that is when the very first patient was seen by Dr. Dick Brown at UNC Charlotte. And the rest is history, as we like to say. We just continued to grow, and we've been out here at the beautiful Latta Nature Preserve since 1984. And as I think you guys are aware, but the public may not be, we're in the final stages of building out our new campus called Quest, and we're doing a partnership with Mecklenburg County Park and Recreation just to really take what we're doing and what they're doing from the natural world to a whole other level. So we're very excited. But, yeah, we've been doing this for over 40 years, if you can believe that.
Well, I remember when I first moved to town, which has been like 28 years now, that was one of the first places I visited. I heard about the Raptor Center. I think the star at that time was an eagle named Zalotti, was it?
Zalotti.
Right?
Exactly right.
Right, and that eagle was a star that a lot of people got to know over the years. The Raptor Center, of course, the purpose is to rehabilitate birds that have been injured.
That's exactly right, Don. We take care of raptors primarily. We do see the other birds that get brought into us, but that's our main focus. We are the largest raptor hospital in the United States by number of patients admitted. We see probably about 1,000 a year, if you can imagine that. Everything from the smallest screech owl up to the biggest eagles and all in between, great horns and barred owls and red tails, you name it, they're coming through here, as well as peregrine falcons and some others. And so that's the big part that a lot of people don't know. But then, as you said, people come out and they see the beautiful birds that we have, like Zalotti, or the birds that are on display. We now have birds from all over the world. So the family or anyone can come out and see birds that they would see in Australia or down in South America or Central America or Europe. And that's a big part of our push, is STEM education. We like to use the tagline that birds inspire, and that we are creating or igniting a passion for science by getting people out here in the woods.
Well, and you are certainly very involved in the community. I was, I guess, last month in November out at the Carolina Renaissance Festival, and I saw that your organization had a booth there. How did that event go for y'all?
It went great. I mean, anytime we can be out sort of preaching the gospel of birds, we like it, and we do. We're doing a lot more in the community, Christopher, as you say. We'll be at schools or community events. We've been all over, and we've got a great community engagement department. We go to corporate outings, taking birds and not taking birds. It's really just to be out there to get people excited about what can happen, and particularly getting people excited about nature and having a passion or an interest in conserving our natural world. Because if we don't take care of this beautiful environment that we have, it's not going to be there for future generations.
Well, that is so true, and the birds are so inspirational. I was, you know, standing away maybe 15 feet from that booth or the exhibit that y'all had, and there were all these kids gathered around, as either it was a hawk or, you know, some type of, you know, falconry demonstration was occurring, maybe a 100-foot run or something, but very, very fascinating.
Well, thank you, and it is. They're all inspiring, and that's the thing. We use the raptors as the hook. We really want to try to connect people to nature and get people to connecting to each other, and we think that's our overall mission. But if you can get you out here and see the birds that we have, it's great. With Quest coming up, it's even going to be better. That's the huge new campus that we're building. If people have been out to Lata over the last year, they've seen construction going on. We're just about to finish phase one, which is the main building, and we'll start breaking ground on our Raptor enclosures and the Duke Energy Amphitheater and resident bird care facility here the first of the year. The goal, guys, is to have everything operational and rock and rolling by fall of 2020. The main Quest building will open probably a little sooner, so folks will be able to come out and see it probably late spring, early summer. But we're just so excited and want to offer up to both of you, Don and Christopher, love to have you come out at some point. Let me give you a tour, and that way you can know what we're talking about and then share it out in the community. But we are, it's an exciting time for the Raptor Center. For being able to what we do for the community.
Well, we'll certainly take you up on that. Now tell us about the birds and the injuries. What's the most common reason a bird comes to you?
Oh, by far it's hit by car. And as we like to tell people, they're out there hunting for food, and they're not getting roadkill. That's one of the things that people think happens, you know, other than the vultures and maybe a few others. They're primarily going after live prey. And that live prey is drawn to the side of the road by the litter that we throw out. So that apple core, that last couple McDonald's French fries or whatever you're throwing out of your car, even gum. It's very attractive to the small mammals and rodents and either other birds, and these big raptors or small raptors are sitting out there on the power lines looking, and they come zooming down, and they're not paying attention to our cars or trucks, and they get hit by vehicles. And so one thing that we like to tell people, you could greatly reduce our patient load by not throwing anything out of your car window. The other, believe it or not, is still window strikes. A lot of big glass in our community. We had a peregrine falcon that came to us not long ago from the 28th floor of one of the uptown high-rises, just hit a window. And so we like to tell people, put things on your glass, put silhouettes on there, do things that the birds will see the glass. This tragedy, we had a Cooper's hawk came to us this past spring that had hit glass down at a facility in South Park chasing another bird. People actually witnessed it, and it flew into this glass and tragically died. So put things on there around your windows. It's just critical for that. And again, don't use pesticides to kill those little rodents around your house, because that rodent will eat it, and then in turn at some point that raptor will eat that mouse. And so there's a lot of more ways that we can be good stewards of the environment and help protect raptors at the same time.
Well, it always amazes me how adaptable the birds are. I've told the story before on the radio here of a red-tailed hawk who works with me when I mow my hay field, and literally will hoover behind the mower and pop down and pick up mice and things, and it's just incredible, because suddenly you feel this presence and you look behind you, and about 30 feet in the air behind you is a full-blown female red-tailed hawk who is a formidable critter, but she has taken advantage of my mowing to pick up mice out of that hay field and doing me a great service along the way.
Absolutely. They are, you know, one of the things that farmers and folks have learned, they're a farmer's best friend from a pest control. You know, barn owls are one of the best. Barn owls can eat their weight in rodents. It's amazing how many they can take care of. And you're right, the red tails and the barred owls and all of them, they're doing such a tremendous service to keeping the pest population down. And vultures, we don't think about vultures and everything they do for us with getting rid of all those dead carcasses out there. And so we need to be very aware and grateful for what the raptor population is doing for us every day that we're just not aware of.
Well, tell us a little bit about some of these exotic birds from other places that you happen to have.
We've got some really cool birds. One of my favorite is Yaya, and Yaya is a red-legged Sirayama from South America. You need to look him up.
Yeah, really?
It is an incredible bird. Sort of think of it as a sort of a version of a secretary bird, smaller than an emu, more ground-dwelling and running, but they can fly a little bit. Just makes this unbelievable call. We now have a laughing kookaburra from Australia. Again, that's just really, remarkable call that they make. Our spectacle owl from Central America is just a huge draw. Australia is just such a beautiful and magnificent bird. All the birds that we have from just not just here in North America, but Central and South, and again that we've talked about, and our Eurasian eagle owls that we have is one of the largest owls in the world. Just incredible, incredible creatures. And then we want people to be able to see these because, again, unless you're – and even if you were out in the wild, let's say you had the opportunity to go to Central America, you probably wouldn't see spectacle owls because they're endangered in their natural habitat. So we're, and that's part of what we can do here in Charlotte to help save habitat around the world that will, again, help these birds. And it's not just for helping the birds. You know, if you want to look at it to be a selfish way, it's helping us as humans because we've seen that if the birds go away, bad things happen to us as mankind. So we need to be protective of these guys.
Now, we've only got about a minute left, but tell us about the 1,000 patients that you have. How many of those are actually able to be released back into the wild?
Oh, Don, I'm very proud of that. We're releasing probably 60 to 70%, which is incredible. We have just a remarkable team of professionals here, not just on the medical staff, but our resident bird care team, our education team, but our medical team. I would put them up against any group around the world. Actually, our vet, Dr. Dave Scott, is well-renowned. He's written the book on raptor care. I mean, we got folks that come worldwide to come visit here and learn under him. We're a medical teaching center. We got folks coming down from Cornell University, which is the premier ornithological institute probably in the United States, to learn from us in March. So we're very proud of the work that the medical team is doing.
Well, this is a great opportunity for you to go out and visit the Raptor Center, especially over the holidays when you have friends and family in from out of town. A great place to go just north of town on I-77 to Latta Plantation Park, the Raptor Center, Carolina Raptor Center. Look them up on the web. Stop by and visit. You will be quite impressed. Thank you, Jim Warren, as always, and we'll see you in a little bit here on the Carolina Outdoors.
Thanks, guys. Happy holidays to everyone.